listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Me and my niggas trying to get it, ya bitch. Hit that house lick, tell me we with it, ya bitch. Home invasion was persuasive.
Was persuasive.
From 9 to 5, I know it's vacant, ya bitch. Ya bitch. Dreams of living life like rappers do, like rappers do. Break the condom, rappers wasn't cool, they wasn't cool. I fucked Shireen and went to tell my bros. Then Usher Raymond let that burn came on, that burn came on. Hot sauce all on the top rhyming, ya bitch, ya bitch. Park the car and then we start rhyming, ya bitch, ya bitch. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and...
How you doing? I'm Karen.
Okay, I'm doing great. Glad you can make it. Of course.
Holly Berry.
And hallelujah.
I love that song.
Mm-hmm. What you doing? Everybody don't respect the shooter, but the one in front of the gun rims forever. And I've been listening all day, this away, that away. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. Yay. Anyway.
I just love that song.
And that's just how I feel. Mm-hmm. Now. A dollar might just fuck your main bitch.
That's just how I feel.
A dollar might turn to 1 million, then we all rich. Man, they put an album out when he put that shit out, dog.
People can feel how they want about Kendrick. I'm a huge Kendrick fan. I love Kendrick Lamar.
Mm-hmm. At any rate, this is a Blackout Tips podcast, and of course we have a bunch of shit to talk about. Cause we have feedback, guys. It's Saturday morning, feedback time, which means we talk about all the things that you guys talked about that, you know, you had to say about what we had to say, and then we respond. You can leave comments on our website. You can vote in the polls on the website. You can leave 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. We got some on iTunes, none on Stitcher this week. You can also leave voicemails as long as they're 3 minutes or less, at 704-557-0186. That's 704-557-0186. Okay. You can leave 3-minute or less voicemails. We appreciate that. You can email us theblackouttips@gmail.com. I mean, there's so many ways to be heard on this show. It's really, mm-hmm. You just let us know, you can donate to the show right on the front page, theblackouttips.com. You can just go right to the right hand side. And if you want to put in on the show, blood out, you can hook us up with a little something, and we like to shout those people out when they do donate to the show. So we got a choir all the way from Compton this week.
all the way from the other coast.
Bishop Kendrick.
Ain't that the truth? Pastor Kendrick. His congregation came to join us today, all the way from California.
Shout out to the people that donated. Andy S, who's a recurring donator. Thank you very much, Andy. Think you might be new. Latonya B, recurring donator. Thank you, Latonya.
Thank you.
My man Eric, Eric M, Bronco Pride, of course.
Attitude check.
You know what it is.
The president was there.
Yeah, the president was there. For real?
Mm-hmm.
For real?
Mm-hmm.
Fayetteville State?
Yeah, I seen the post go up and down the timeline saying, because they've been coming back and forth and coming to all
the agencies and shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's up, man. Damn, that threw me all off. Waste Bees by Sewer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Recurring donator. Michael Irvin, the Playmaker. Recurring donator. Thank you, Mike. Alexander M, recurring donator. Hugh G, recurring donator. Thank you, Hugh.
Yeah.
Terry W, recurring donator. Thank you, Terry. Jason F, recurring donator. Thank you so much, Jason. Got a one-time donation from, I hope I'm pronouncing this right. Kamishan M. Okay, I hope I pronounced that right. If not, KM, you know who you is. Thank you. Calvin N, recurring donator. Thank you, Calvin. Gerard L, recurring donator. Tawana J, recurring donator. Cedric the Entertainer, recurring donator. Thanks, Cedric W.
Hey, baby.
Got a one-time donation from Lamara H, recurring donator. Thank you, Lamara. Larry B, recurring donator. Yes, Larry B. Cecil H, recurring donator. And that's everybody. Play me out, Kendrick.
Just fucking main bitch. That's just how I feel.
A dollar might
turn to a million that you gain with. That's just how I feel.
Nah,
a dollar might just make that lane switch. That's just how I feel.
a dollar mic, turn to a million, yeah, then we all rich. That's just how I feel. Dreams of living life like rappers do. Like rappers do. Like rappers. Bump that new E40 at the school. Way at the school. Way at the, you know, big ballin' with my homie. Bro Stevens had us thinking rational. Thinking rational. That's rational. Back to reality, we poor, ya yeah, bitch. Ya yeah, bitch. Ain't another casualty of war, ya yeah, bitch. Ya yeah, bitch. Two bullets in my uncle Tony head. My Tony head. He said one day I'll be on tour, ya yeah, bitch. Ya yeah, bitch. That Louis burgers never be the same. Won't be the same. Won't be. Hey, Louis Belder never eats that pain. Won't eat that pain. Won't eat. But I'ma purchase when that day is jerking. That day is jerking. Pull off at churches with Pirelli skirt.
Pirelli slurring. Gang signs out the window, ya bitch. Ya bitch. Hoping all of them offend you, ya bitch. Ya bitch.
They say your hood
is a pot of gold. And we gon' crash it when nobody's home.
Hallelujah.
Alright, alright. Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, we thank you, Apostle Kendrick Lamar, for coming to visit us today.
All the way across the coast.
Mm-hmm. Come back again soon, sir.
Anytime, really. You're welcome anytime.
Anytime. Our doors are always open.
The song had Hallelujah in it, so it's really a spiritual, Negro spiritual. we have 5-star reviews on iTunes. Let's read them. My Daily Routine is the title of this one by Mimi Sunshine 1KO. Love this podcast. It's a daily staple for me getting ready for work. I listen on Podbean, so it took me a while to get to this 5-star review. Thank you for doing this show. No problem. Yeah, someone, it wasn't me, but someone submitted our feed to Podbean, so it's just on there now. And I didn't know. I got like an email. It's like, you gonna claim your podcast? I was like, claim my what? Nigga, it's mine.
Oh, I thought we was on a Podbean. Podbean something different?
Podomatic is what we're on, Karen.
But I thought it was a podcast.
Catch but you can submit your, you know, podcast to Podbean, and I guess probably a listener did it or something. Which is fine. Which is fine. I don't mind. But yeah, it was interesting because I was like, where am I getting this email from? But
No problem.
It's cool. But yeah, I'm glad it's just another avenue for people to listen to the show. So thank
okay,
you.
Okay, I see what you're saying. It's not an app. That's why I was like, what? Okay, I'm with you now.
A Fave, 5 stars by Miss Keva. I download a lot of podcasts, but there are only a few that I stay current with, and TBGWT is one of them. It's refreshing to hear black people who doesn't constantly pepper their conversation with God praise. Yes, I too am a black atheist. Well, listen, I hate to disappoint you, but only Jesus could have left you that 5-star review, okay? I just want to thank him, okay? I just got the praise right now, okay? You wasn't able to get on this computer and science it up without the healing hand of the Lord on you. Mm-hmm. I know all our religious listeners be like, he played too much. God, I hate him. I'm gonna pray for him.
I know.
Whether he wanted or not.
I know. He gonna get this prayer.
The interplay between Karen and Rod will bring a smile to your face. I have relatives in NC, and hearing their voices remind me of cousins. Although I sorely miss you guys, hearing the Miami trip episode was worth that week without you. Self-care is important, so take more trips and tell us all about it when you come back. Oh, we will, and we plan to.
Yay!
but yes, we
I like
thank
travel,
you.
So I'm all about that.
Hate to leave y'all without a show, but you know, niggas need breaks. Listen to the podcast anime, 5 stars. Oh, Jesus.
Oh. That sounded kind of violent.
That was kind of forceful there. I mean.
I mean, goddamn it, anime. You better listen, girl.
They ain't got to podcast me but once. this is by Island Mommy, who says, first, I need to know where to donate so we can get an actual Pissmas album. Thanks. Hang all the urinals. I'm gonna get to know you better this Pissmas. I could do like 100 of those.
Frosty the Pissmas.
I know.
Hey. I mean, since we're going there.
Had a very happy flow.
Yeah, hey, did.
So horrible. It will get old fast, guys, I'm sure.
Yes,
it's refreshing to hear. Wait, I went to the wrong review. From current events to my favorite shows, you guys cover everything like it's Friday night and we're drinking Henny and playing spades in the backyard. I started only listening to the Walking Dead recaps thanks to a friend, then Game of Thrones, and now I'm hitting refresh every day to get my fix. Thanks for the great work you do. XOXO at TENNEI. Thank you
baby.
You know what? That's dope, man. Okay. I think the show recaps are definitely a gateway drug.
Yes.
You know? And I do appreciate people going back and like finding, you know, listening to the regular show and stuff, because you know, I like to think we do a good job, you know. I mean, not to brag too much, I like to think we do okay. And it makes it worth it, man. About Time by Miss Pecan Pixie. Oh, it is about time for your ass. I mean, look, no. First of all, you know, when you come on time, every time is on time and the right time and all that shit. But nigga, I've known you for a long time.
Yes,
in these
have.
Internet streets. We've been friends on all the platforms and stuff.
All the platforms.
But you know what? You came through, you know.
And we ain't mad at you, love.
So
you,
I can't even be mad. But yeah, it is. Like, you like when the like people that like the town alcoholic comes into the church and they be like, what?
I can't believe it's you.
You want to get saved? Like, you don't even have to like do your testimony because everybody know it. Like, mm-hmm, he did. He wrapped that baby around that pole in that car.
I remember it was drinking on the front page of the news.
And that's before he got beat up. LOL, yeah, I'm late. I'm a lot late. I'm just now getting into podcasts. I've known y'all since my SOHH days, right? We go all the way back. But finally started listening a few months ago. Y'all are hilarious and get me through my work day. Keep it up. We will.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I'm telling you, man, it's wild how every once in a while there will be a person on Twitter like, so you, what's this podcast thing? I'm like, you know what? And that's why I keep putting it in my tweets.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's why I keep retweeting when people talk about the show. Cause,
oh, yes. Yes, people ask.
Honestly, man, it's like no better. That, you know, if you guys tweet about the show and you put TBGWT in the tweet, I normally retweet whatever it is, unless it's some like bullshit or something. Like, I hate Mike Lawrence or something. It's like, well, I'm not retweeting that. But if it's just like, you know, and nobody did that, but I'm just saying in general, if it's some positive things or something related to the show or a joke or something, I'll retweet it, because I think a lot of times it's just easier than telling people that we do a really good show, you know, and it defies a lot of the logic that you think you have and know about podcasts. You know, a lot of people, because they're mostly introduced to either mainstream or i.e. white podcasts and the way that they do it,
right,
you know, where
like most people, very, I won't say generic, but you know, it's very, depends on who does it. A lot of their podcasts are very strategic and they follow the same platform and things like that.
Well, you mean format?
A format.
Yeah. But also like there's a, I'm gonna do this one time a week thing. I'm gonna do this an hour a week. I'm gonna do this 10 minutes a week or whatever. And people start thinking, well, that's a podcast because that's what they are introduced to first, because that's what iTunes normally puts out there first.
Right.
But there's all kinds of different ways to do a podcast. And I think the same way people go in and listen to Steve Harvey Morning Show or Tom Joyner's Morning Show or the right, you know, ESPN, Dan Le Batard Show or whatever, they can listen to a podcast like that. Shit, those shows put their stuff in podcast form specifically because that is how people, some people listen.
Right.
So, it's interesting when people kind of like, they just see like, oh God, this long show or something. But next thing you know, it's like, man, work flew fucking by because I had 2 hours of just talking, you know, listening to these motherfuckers talk shit as opposed to, you know, whatever I listen to on the radio or what album I'm getting tired of or whatever,
and
you know.
And the funny part is a trick, because if you was to listen live, you would still be listening for 3 hours straight. You have a
right.
bunch of
with
commercials.
Yeah. And right. you can like dip in and dip out with us. It's not like,
right.
you know, I mean, some people have that completionist gene like I have, because I like to listen to everything when I listen to something. But, you know, even with that, it's like you can dip in and dip out, man. So. But yes, I'm glad you left us a review finally.
Thank you.
KPO Jax says, the black unicorn who helped me out, 5 stars. I had heard about the pod from the Evening Jones. Okay, all right. Shout out to Bo. You know, he talked about us when we met him in Miami and stuff. Mm-hmm. He talked about it on the Evening Jones, man.
That was
but
a fun trip.
We go way, way back. Yeah.
Way back.
I had never checked it out, but one day I kind of harassed Rod about his Transformer Twitter name at the little back and forth, which I was surprised he responded to. I decided to give it a listen. The first episode was Stormtrooper White. Well, listen, let me tell you something, brother. Number one, I respond to a lot of stuff on Twitter, and it just depends on how the person approaches me and what mood I'm in, because some days I'll just be like, block. You know, and then some days I'm like, maybe this person's just joking and they kind of like on the same wavelength I am, where we can joke back and forth and nobody's gonna get personally offended.
Right.
But you just never know with the social media age, because sometimes people approach you like, what kind of name is Ronald Trump or something? And you're like, what? Okay. You know, and then some, and they really are seriously mad. And then sometimes it's nothing, but you know, I read 99% of the shit that gets sent to me, if not 100%. So I see when people want to talk to me, it's just what, and I try to respond to the people that seem to be cool. You know,
seem
I mean,
to be reasonable.
So it's not like, I don't feel big time like on some, this nigga hit me up, fuck him. You know, it's just, honestly, for the most part, a lot of people just don't know how to talk to people.
I will continue to say that. When you like, I'm like, if you see me in my face, would you respond to me like this? No, you would not. Because mm-hmm. it's a different when somebody can put them hands on you versus you behind that keyboard.
Right. So it just depends how people approach and the mood. Because, I mean, sometimes you like people wear you down and you don't have the patience or whatever.
Right.
But
that's when you have to step away.
Yeah. You never know when people are joking and when they're serious. Because there's been times I assumed somebody was joking because they brought up something I found to be ridiculous. And then, like, within a couple of tweets, I'm like, oh, this nigga is serious. You know what I mean? Anyway, he says, listening to the stories about not ordering chicken because you didn't want to deal with the response made me laugh and struck a nerve, because growing up as one of the five black people at a predominantly white high school, folks always let me know when it was chicken day in the cafeteria. Damn!
Aww.
I thought the pie was cool, but the moment of truth, when I decided to subscribe, I call it the Unicron moment. Oh, Unicron. I read Unicorn. Okay, he's talking about Unicron like, Transformers the movie Unicron. Yes. Okay. I call it the Unicron moment was when Rod said straight black men are the white people of black people. When I heard that, everything I argued about with my friends, family, about socially suddenly made sense. It made me realize that not only are Rod and Karen hilarious, but even though I'm grown, they introduce a fresh perspective. One that is typically lost on most black people, especially young black men who are trying to make sense of the world, and how it affects them. It's so easy to get caught up in the misogynistic thinking. Yeah, man. I mean, dog, it ain't just us, it's everybody, like black women too, straight people, gay people, white people. Like, certain shit is just so influential in this world. It's like a pressure and a wave that is just constantly flowing, and when you decide to swim against stream, I mean, it's exhausting, but it's also like you stick out, you know, when you're the person that's like, but why would you say, you know, why would you say this about,
that makes sense, right?
Yeah, like, and it does kind of suck to be that person, because a lot of times it, you know, people don't like it, and I pick my spots. I mean, there's times where I'm around a group of people, and if they, you know, are all like on the same shit, I'm just like, okay, this ain't the day that I'm gonna like down this hill in the middle of my family reunion or something. But
right,
you know what I mean, like if I'm in my family reunion, they like, women be doing this, and then my aunts be like, no they don't, I'm not about to, like, y'all got it.
Yeah, y'all handle that one.
Yeah, but if it's just like, you know, it's just certain shit, man, you do feel like you're swimming against stream. But I think with the podcast and social media, at least people know they're not swimming alone. Or and you know, I don't know that there's solutions really, or there's like anything you can necessarily do about it, but I just know that it's good, it feels good to know, like, okay, I'm not the only one that thinks this shit is a little bit fucked up, or, you know, or I'm appreciative when people kind of hit me to certain game and stuff, you know, because we're all a process, nobody's perfect. So and I there's shit that I'm sure 5-6 years ago when we started this podcast, I was like, well, that's just how it is. And now I'm like, but why does it have to be that way? You know, or shit that I've learned, or things that people have kind of hit me to that I'm just like, oh, I don't think when we started this podcast, I had any idea what that trans was a thing.
No,
you know, as a concept.
Right. I have grown and evolved so much since we started this show. So many terms and words and phrases have been introduced to me. Some I understand, some I don't, some I'm still learning. Some of these terms and phrases are evolving. And it's one of those things where, as you have to be open to learning. And I think particularly when it comes to sexuality and gender and things like that, people that are straight have a tendency to be like, that's not normal, and they shut down, versus being open-minded to go, oh, okay, that's what that is. It might not be for me, but I understand it.
Yeah, so, you know, And like, I don't look at our job as like, it's time to educate the people. Like, mm-hmm. I honestly feel like the number one thing here is fun. And I want to have fun every time we do the show. And, it's not trying to play the woke Olympics. I'm not trying to win. I'm not trying to be the least problematic person on the earth or any shit like that. You know, I'm not trying to win the ally badge or get cookies or any of that shit. Like, some shit you just feel like, well, that's wrong or that's right. And right. That's it. But
take your stand on it, right?
Yeah. And some of this stuff is from doing the show for so long. You just get introduced to so many different perspectives. You can't help but kind of like empathize or pick up certain things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's not, it's not perfection, but sometimes you just find the words and you're just like, oh yeah, that's what this is. And I still get shit about that tweet, but I'm not going to delete it. And I'm not going to take it back. Cause I really do believe that. And I hate to see reminders of it all the time when black men.
You're right, because they don't. We opt out of complaining.
Well, when we opt out of shit, I just hate to see the evidence of it when it comes to certain struggles that we decide, nah, I'm not fighting with y'all on this one because this one benefits me to stay in place. You know what I mean?
Right. And when I mean complaining, like they're the people who on social media you get the most backlash from.
Oh yeah, yeah. Right. Niggas come find me now. It's crazy. Anyway, thank you guys for helping me grow as a person, putting me on the dope shit like Atlanta and making me laugh. Now I go around Northern California confronting hoteps when they start preaching. I hit them with the, you call this woke? This is bad comedy. Oh no. He said like the Transformers, like when Megatron came back. You call this woke? This is bad comedy. Anyway, I love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Alex. Thanks, Alex.
Thank you, baby.
Yeah. Just make sure the hotels don't turn around and be like, wanna bet, and throw you into the space.
Never to return. We don't want that to happen, baby.
I still function. All right. We had comments on that just got super nerdy. Sorry, guys. Like half of the audience is like, what the fuck are they talking about? We had episode 1311.
It is Robots in Disguise.
Mm-hmm. You gotta do the comments on the website. We had episode 1311 this Pissmas, and we had one comment. Teflon Donna says the way they handled the cliffhanger was sloppy as hell, but we're going to watch anyway. I didn't think the cliffhanger was sloppy on Walking Dead, if that's what you're talking about. I liked it. I mean, and like I said, it's really been like 2 weeks and nobody hit me up with these supposed leaks where they knew who was gonna die before they died. Interesting. Some people in my audience are liars. It's sad that I had to call you guys that, but you never provided any evidence to back up your claims that you knew. So that is a very interesting thing to say. We've invested 6 long years into this and we're not about to stop now. Anyone who says otherwise is just doing it for attention. Diehard fans who are in the spoilers were stalking the set and noticed that Glenn and Abe weren't there beyond the premiere episode, but Steven was seen in South Korea while everyone else was filming, and Michael Cudlitz was spotted without his signature Abraham red hair. Just saying, Kanye shrugged. Well, nobody said it to me and nobody provided a link, and there's always been a lot of hearsay and third party news, but I don't consider this proof, Teflon Don. I think you should have sent this in the middle of the summer if you really were so positive and so sure. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, the thing that Walking Dead started doing that was really smart is they do the flashbacks. So, you know, people be like, oh yeah, so-and-so's not on the set, or so-and-so was on the set, or whatever. And it's like, yeah, they were just there to film this scene where Abraham is, they do the dinner picture or whatever the fuck, you know? Like I said, these leaks were not heavily covered. There's just a lot of like speculation, but nobody knew, which is fine. I mean, I don't know why people are obsessed with knowing.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be funny, and maybe I'm old school. I like not knowing. I actually want to be surprised, because people dig and know everything and then get mad. Motherfucker, you know everything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not so... It's okay that people didn't know, man. It's cool. Like, it's actually kind of I respect it in today's world, because in today's world, everything seems to be known before it happens, you know? And I think that kind of sucks, with a lot of nerd culture, is this whole, like, let's find out before it happens. And it's like, well, what's the point of watching it if you're gonna look for the set pics and you know, all the casting news and all this shit, you know.
I opt out of a lot of that stuff because I really like to see it. And something I start doing, if I see a preview and I'm gonna watch it and it's starting close to the movie, I don't even watch them. Nope. Mm-mm, don't show me shit. I want to enjoy the movie.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's always kind of weird anyway. Like when people try to figure out if Jon Snow was gonna come back and they were like following Kit Harington around in real life and shit, and at some point he just like, but it doesn't that ruin the show to know he's coming back? Like, don't you want to have the speculation? But I think people just don't like titillation the way that I do. Like, I like the idea of not knowing. I like the idea of what are they gonna do next.
Yeah, some people just, you know, like the fact of being mad,
right?
And also I think that some people get a high off of knowing shit in advance and spoiling shit for other people. Like, you can't, in the internet age, some people fucking get a kick out of, I know some shit that you don't, and I'm gonna spoil it for you because I can.
Yeah. So, at any rate, we had the poll too. The poll was, which is better, Off the Wall Thriller or Bad? Karen, which one's your favorite?
I like Bad.
Karen likes Bad. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, only 3% of people agree with you. So you chose the worst one. Thriller is 44%. So number one is Off the Wall, 53%, 10% difference.
Okay, that's a good album too. I like them all. But yeah, I like them
too
bad.
Late, Karen. You said Bad was your favorite.
It is.
You lost. 3% of people agree with you. So sad. We had episode 1312, Nerding Out with Mike Lawrence. Nobody left a comment, although we did get a lot of positive social media feedback.
Mm-hmm. People love Mike.
Yeah. Girl Scout cookie cereal was the poll. This is too much. Finally what we deserve. Or no Samoans, no thanks. 18.6% said finally what we deserve. We do deserve it. 60.4% said no, this is too much. They don't want Girl Scout cookies cereal. What? Right? Y'all are trash ass human beings. And 21% said no Samoans, no thanks, because they love them Samoans.
I do too.
Well,
but I will still try them Girl Scout cookies though.
More Thin Mint cereal for me. Erasing Amy, we talked about Amy Schumer and coffee shop charges people for about a minute, and Christina Milian and I was dressing up as a nun with like her titties hanging out and shit. So we had 3 comments. Tangeray says Beyonce could have said no to Amy. She doesn't need Amy. The situation is silly to me. I mean, I don't think anybody implied that Beyonce needed Amy at all, but at the same time, I don't think it's kind of like a who gives a fuck is kind of the way I see it. Like, she knew Amy was gonna get fried. She ain't jumping in front of the bullet. She really couldn't stop Amy Schumer from putting it out. So it's just like, hey, is this okay? Yeah, sure. I don't give a fuck. She probably didn't even look at the video. And Amy Schumer is a power broker within the movie world, where I know Beyonce has tried to break into a few times. So I don't know if there would be a situation where, because I know Nicki Minaj was in Nicki Minaj has played the sassy girlfriend in the comedies and shit. I don't know. I could see that shit coming up again, but at the same time, I don't think it was some serious conversation. Like, I think what happens with the internet circles that we occupy is that we get obsessed with certain shit because we're black.
Right.
And we care about black shit. In general, the world does not give a fuck. Like even Amy Schumer doing this, the vast majority of her fans that see this will just not care. You know, they'll just be like, oh, that was cute, or they'll feel like she feels, all women together and shit. It's not gonna be a big deal because it's not really that big of a deal. It's us that feel, you know, slighted or whatever. But in general, I don't think Beyonce, Jay-Z, anybody was saw the video and was like, I'm taking a stand, you cannot do this. I think she just went, okay. You know, there's been what, a million tribute videos at this point to her shit. She's like, okay, another person doing some shit. I bet you they never met. I bet you she never saw it. They probably was a letter between publicists or something.
Oh yeah,
because and you can tell that she don't give a fuck, because Beyonce ain't say a word about this. Mm-hmm. She ain't come out on stage to be like, let me defend this woman, why y'all picking on her, man. She's just like, okay, well, yeah, you shouldn't have did it.
Right, that was some arrangement agreement with some shit. People signed it and everybody moved on.
Yeah, so she, I don't think it's about could she have said no. She could have. I think maybe you feel like she should have said no.
Right.
Which is a totally different thing. But yeah, she could have said no. She don't need Amy. I don't think she should have or shouldn't do any. I mean, I think she should just be able to like, yeah, whatever. Like, I don't think she cares that much. Mm-mm. At any rate, Amy got fried and Beyonce ain't say nothing. So I think that speaks volumes.
Mm-hmm.
Shan says it would have been different maybe if it came out right after the song did. Also, if it had not been presented like a tribute / official video, but just fellow cast members on a movie shoot dancing along to the song because they enjoy it. That is not how it comes off confusing. I cannot be offended by this because I don't understand the video, nor do I want to. On the scale of things Amy has done and said, this might be not be the highest on the Richter scale. Okay. It's always weird when people write in to say, I'm not offended. I don't get it. It's like, all right. You know what I mean? Because, like, if I didn't care, I just wouldn't write anything. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just weird like that.
Yeah, because people do care and they just write out like,
because this happens on Facebook sometimes. Like, somebody will post my stuff. Do we really care about this? I'm like, nigga, you typing. All I did was click share on an article. I don't know. I mean, you seem to care. You know what I mean? Why we care so much about the Kardashians? Who is we? Nigga, all I hit was share, dog. I didn't put a statement on history or what the world sees or nothing. It wasn't that deep to me, you know? But at any rate, though, I understand. Yeah, you don't have to care. You don't have to understand it. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Silverback says, Amy Schumer is like many other entertainers who can't keep race out of their bigoted mouth. She's a racist for profit, getting money, support, and fame from shitting on other cultures, race, etc., while at the same time claiming to not be racist and work under the title of satire. The sad thing is, making a living off of spreading racism is arguably the highest degree of racism one can display. Been thinking of this as a comedic premise for a while, but that's a whole nother thought. Thank you, Ryan and Karen, for reading my comment and providing a safe space / refuel station for my blackness and shelter from Satan. Hey. First of all, thanks for the comment, Silverback. And yeah, man, here's the thing that's so weird about this Amy Schumer shit. I don't really listen to or watch her comedy like that. So I'm just taking y'all word for it. When people are like, she's racist and all this shit in her comedy, it's like,
okay, because I don't.
The examples I've seen online have all been like I think of stuff like the tweet about black men harassing women and shit like that, where I'm like, oh, okay, now see, that's not a joke and it does seem racist. But like her joke about the Mexican dude, the Mexican officer, I used to date Mexican, now I prefer consensual. One is an older joke, but that wasn't enough to make me be like, this bitch, here she go. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, okay, that's a racist joke. I didn't watch her whole stand up to get the joke. It's just, it's kind of like what Chris Rock said when I say she's not really for me. She's never done anything that I felt was like comedy that reached me on any level.
True.
You know, I watched Trainwreck. I thought it was okay. You know, I don't know, man. It just seemed like if she would get out of her own way, it would probably be easier for her to just leave race shit alone and do what she does.
Right.
Rather than to keep trying to force the ego in there and be like, no, I'm right, everybody else is wrong. Like, just do your thing and leave that out. It's not like there's some huge constituency of people that are like, I fuck with her because she made a couple jokes about race. You know? I don't know, man. It's just people can't get out their own way, I guess. Anyway, the poll was Nicki Minaj talking about Kanye? Because remember when she said Kanye wasn't joking when he got a white woman, da da da, and then later on she was like, no, I wasn't talking bad about him. So the poll is, was she actually talking bad about him? Yes or no? What do you think? Mm-hmm. Karen says yes, and so does 58% of the audience. She was definitely talking bad about Kanye, guys.
Yeah, she toned that tune around. She's like, oh, I can't be out here fucking with my money.
She cleaned it up, but, you know. And 41% really believe she was not talking bad about Kanye. Mm-hmm. Just total coincidence. Shit happens. Episode 314, Zeke the Zookeeper from Detroit, where we had Miss Smart on. Miss Smart of Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine came through, and thinkprettysmart.com. And we discussed The Walking Dead. let's see, we had a couple comments. Amani says, even in the zombie apocalypse, niggas still got a code switch to make it to the top. I know, right? You know what's funny? I was thinking about this after the show. I think, and I meant to bring it up during the show, but I think Ezekiel, Negan, and Rick, and just The Walking Dead in general, the whole mythos, is really just a commentary on political leadership and politics and shit, but just in a very like
theatrical way.
Yeah, but I really think it is, because if you think about it in general, I think the walkers and the zombie plague represents the fact that in regular ass life, like not on TV, just regular people, we're all going to die, and we're all sort of doing a bunch of shit to avoid thinking about that and avoid considering that one day our time on this earth will be done. And so we get obsessed with these things that ultimately don't change much, you know, like, yeah, the same way we get obsessed about this election and shit, but ultimately it can't change but so much, you know, not that you should not care, but just it can't change but so much. And so it's like you're playing this losing game no matter how it goes. And the theatrics that Ezekiel puts on is almost like a religious leader or something, where you're like, these people need something to believe in. I'm going to give them that thing. You know, a lot of last season for Rick was really about him being like, what's the thing to lead these people? And it was, oh, turning this place into a sanctuary will be our thing. You know, communing with other cultures and other communities, that'll be our thing. You know, like we can work together to make this work, you know. And with Negan shit is like, we take everything, but even he's a larger than life figure that promises protection by being the scariest bully, almost like Trump, you know. So I don't know, it's just like I was thinking about that after the show, and I was just like, man, I wish I made that point on the show, because I meant to. But I think it's just a big commentary on theatrics and politics and what, how much people want to be led, and they want to have hope, and they want these things even in a zombie apocalypse. You know, like we need a dude that got dreads and got a tiger. That's what we need. I don't, how else we gonna make it? It's like, well, you should be able to make it either way, right? But anyway, Amani says, and Zeke showed up like that to make sure Carol know he can make that pussy roar. They're gonna have little Joan the scammer running around in no time. Joanne the scammer, yeah, because if they have a little baby, it's gonna definitely be 100% fraud.
Oh Lord.
I mean, his mama a fraud? Is daddy gonna be a fraud? If they had a little baby in the apocalypse, you know, she fake Martha Stewart, he fake King Ezekiel. He already getting the alkaline out of their dyes in the kingdom now. He found his queen. I'm just hoping it turns out we don't have the Hotepia on The Walking Dead. We gotta go to Bankhead and find new Wakanda. Llama Time says, hi Rod and Karen, I hope both of you are well. I don't watch The Walking Dead. I tried to once. I had to watch from in between my fingers. I love the recaps though. I feel like I'm in on a huge part of pop culture now. Also, the bit about Zeke Boo being a Jamaican man cracked me up. I'm Jamaican and spent the early part of my life there. Shout out to my pops. But he says, hey, there's some truth to what you said, Rod. Shout out to my pops, but it's better to LOL than to cry. Thank you for your comments.
Thank you, baby.
And the poll was, will King Ezekiel chop down Carol's Martha Stewart cakes with his royal staff? That was the poll. And the options were, swirl alert, yes he will.
Oh Lord, no swirl alert.
Or, swirl denied, she won't sit on his throne. I'm doing scientific polls here, Karen. I don't understand why you so. Nothing funny about science.
Yes, it is.
71% say swirl alert. Yes, he will. Chop down her Martha Stewart cakes.
I think he will too.
29% say swirl denied, she won't sit on his throne. EVE says, not only will she sit on that throne, she gonna sit on that bone. EV. What's wrong with y'all? Woman after my own heart. All right, and the last episode was Lil Wayne's Life Matters. My life matters. This flag matters. Anyway, the comments were, Maya B says, I watched that video of Wayne like twice this morning and I still don't understand how he could actually say that shit. The way that interviewer was looking was the look of silent rage, and Eli was mad with her. And Lil Wayne was mad with her. All that lean really fucked up his mind. Monica says, man, this episode's white people news was so white. The Starbucks cup controversy again? I think we need to follow Rod's advice from last week and give some real problems to white people. How is trying to promote unity oppressively political and part of an agenda? Oh no, Starbucks wants to help solve divisiveness of the moment. Help. I mean, no they don't. They want money, but still, nice try. I think DZZ makes those stupid protesters itchy. Meanwhile, the drawing on the green cup is really cool. Especially if it's all drawn in one line. On another note, Rod, will you ever bring back your old school bevel wrap? Maybe for the holidays? This is a formal request. Later, Monica. The problem with the bevel wrap, Monica, I think is that it's before we had used the code that we have now. So now it's just like getbevel.com/TBGWT. But I think during the bevel wrap era, which was, as you probably can tell, was a freestyle, it's free TBGWT, so I don't want to confuse the branding of it by bringing it back. But yeah, I mean I wish I could bring it back. Maybe I'll do a new one or something. We'll come up with something for Christmas, guys. Really Dark Knight says, I'll keep this short and sweet. Fuck Lil Wayne and his bullshit. All right.
I was straight to the point. Okay, no bullshitting around for you.
I understood. Okay. The poll was Lil Wayne has no point or has a point. 7% of y'all said he has a point, which is really, really. And 93% of y'all say he has no point. Mm-hmm. So Animane Sparkster says, I believe I said this before, but it bears repeating. This is the same man who dropped the beat the pussy up like Emmett Till bar with a straight face and without apology. This is par for the course. And should Black America erupt into pure chaos, I expect to see Lil Wayne on the party bus of apathy. Yep. All right, we had one voicemail to do. Let me play that joint.
Okay. Hey, I'm Karen. This is Jada. Loving the show as always. But yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about the, you know, what, 178 years until women will have equal pay. And actually, I listened to a Freakonomics podcast, and it was really interesting in that they were saying that the real like reason for the gender pay gap is due to not necessarily women getting paid less for the same job, but that because of women most of the time have been like the caretakers of their family, whether even if they don't have children or not, like, you know, they take care of their parents or, you know, something like that, that they need a job that's more flexible, like, you know, flexible time or things like that, and that usually those type of jobs unfortunately come with less pay. So they were saying that like a man and a woman can both start off at the same pay, like at the same law firm or something, just saying. But then if a woman goes and her parents get sick or she has kids, they were saying like, you know, well maybe then she's not able to like devote as much time or to be in the office as much as like a client wants her to be, right? So then she has to take the smaller cases, which are then going to come with, you know, less commission and less pay. So definitely I agree with Karen when she said that, you know, women are punished for these type of things. And even it was kind of sad to see that like some women kind of buy into this, because I went to a conference and there was a panel that was talking about company culture. And I brought up that, you know, I feel like something in America needs to change because, you know, in these other countries, we have, you know, women can get a whole year off of maternity leave, right? You know, and that, and so that, yeah, and that, like, you're just always 24/7, you know, expected to be checking in, you know. So I was just like, I think American work culture, period, you know, needs to change to more work-life balance. And, like, the only woman on the panel was basically like, oh, well, if you need certain flexible, you know, things, then you need to let that known to your employer. which is true. But my point was that, well, if there are not that many employers out there, you know, giving that flexibility, right, or like what the other podcast was saying, that those jobs, you know, pay less. I mean, is that fair? Is that true and quality? So, but yeah, I just thankful, you know, you guys are addressing this issue on your podcast, and love to hear your feedback. Bye.
Oh man. Yeah, I definitely understand. And I mean, I think one of the reasons that women make less is because, you know, periods. Cause y'all be having them vaginas, and once a month for 5 days, it's like y'all can't get nothing done, you know? So I mean, I'm gonna pay for that, come on. Then you can have the babies. I mean, come on now, I can't be letting you have babies out here and still paying you, you know, what your work is worth. That's crazy to me. I should just not do any of that. But here's the thing I think that it comes down to when it comes to a lot of like pay gap, the wage gap shit. It's not even all that shit you just mentioned is right. It takes a toll, and it definitely falls to women in our society. But real talk, it's really, as men, we not trying to make less. Cause it's not right. Really, cause when people talk about wage gap and pay equality, in many ways, what they're really saying is, I would be fine with women making as much as I make. That, like, that part, that I don't give a fuck. But that's not really what you mean, because what would happen is women make more, men have to come back down to reality. Like, it can't be I'm making 75 cents on the dollar, you making a dollar on the dollar, and then suddenly I just get 25% more out of nowhere. The company's just gonna do that? Nah, companies aren't gonna do that. Somewhere you got to meet in the middle. The men gonna have to start making 85 cents of what they were making, and women go up to 85 cents of what, you know, men were making. And that's where you're gonna find that evenness at. But as long as men have the advantage and they're in the positions of power, I don't know that we'll ever get true equality, you know. And then it's so weird when people talk about the cost of pregnancy and child raising and shit, because we always act like, yeah, women have the baby, so therefore men have no role in this shit.
Right.
Like, a lot, the vast majority of women that are having children aren't doing so by themselves, you know. Not that there would be anything wrong with that, but the vast majority aren't. So we're right, literally saying, when in the work culture, well, yeah, if a man has a baby with a woman, that man should be expected to be at work more often than that woman. Once they have the kid, that man should be expected to be at work more often than that woman.
Yeah, and that's why some men demand it now, where men can actually take time off work, because before there was no option for a man to take time off work, to spend time with his children.
Yeah, and then what's wild is it's still the stigma of doing that, you know, because so much of masculinity is attached to this idea of work. How many people listen to the show, but they define themselves, or they've been taught, I'm not saying you do, but you've been taught to define yourself via your work. Like, right, how valuable are you? Well, that's really about my job. That's like how, when you talk to people and you, so like one of the first things, what do you do?
Right. You know, it might sound strange, but I'm just not realizing that whenever you do these interactions and things like that, doctor, dentist, that's like you say, particularly with women, that's the number one thing that you're asked is, what do you do? And not to get off on a tangent, it took me a long time to break that philosophy of thinking. I am not defined by my job no longer, but I used to always be defined by what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're defined by what you do, you would be irrational, you would be illogical, and you put a lot of family and a lot of personal responsibilities to the side, because your family does not define you, your job defines you. You make a lot of sacrifices for your job that you are not willing to make for other, actually more important things around you that will be there once that job is gone. And this, and so let's say you get laid off or you lose your job. This is why people lose their goddamn minds, because they were defined by their job. And so the thing that defined you is no longer there. And once that thing is no longer there, you do not appreciate the things around you that have not changed. This is your family and your friends and your loved ones. These things have not changed. But because you're so wrapped up in your job defining who you are, you feel like you have lost who you are, because your job defined it, who and what made you.
Well, what's weird about that, though, is a job defining a woman in that kind of way is almost still a revolutionary act, because traditionally we ask women to find themselves in motherhood and nurturing and taking care of people and shit. So it's like, you know, how many, you know, times, and I mean, obviously the struggle varies per person in different racial struggles and shit, but how many times are we looking at women that, like, people get mad at them if they say, don't say, like, well, being a mother is my first and full-time most rewarding job,
right?
You know, if they were to say, like, running Google is obviously the most rewarding shit I've ever done, but you're a mother, you know, like, it's one of those things where we put that kind of stigma on women for stepping out of the box, and vice versa, we put the stigma on men. You could win 17 NBA championships if you said, we don't expect you to say, well, being a father is really the thing. It's like, what, nigga? No, winning a championship was the thing.
In fact, you get a goddamn reward as a man for saying that you love your children, versus women, it's a demand. And
yeah, like, it's definitely seen it. Yeah, it's like a bonus for right. men to do. But I'm just saying, even if you, like, if LeBron James is like, my kid is being born, I'm gonna have to take some time off from the NBA to take care of my kid. Oh, nah, you will see it work the other way. You will see it. You will see people be like, the fuck, nigga? No, you gotta play these games. You got a wife. Why are you stepping, or you got money? Why you need to be there for your kid? Like, this is more important. Like that, like, so it works the opposite way for men is what I'm saying. Like,
you
step out of your career thing into your fatherhood thing, and it's like, well, now you're less of a man, because work should define and quantify manhood, and vice versa for women. And I think everyone's kind of fluctuating with these balances and shit, but you know, obviously people want to get in where they fit in, but it's so weird to watch, like, that take place with the money. Like, all this shit out in society happens, and you're like, well, everyone's living their individual lives, what does it matter, I just want people to be happy. Well, the problem is, when it comes to paying people, all that societal influence still comes down to people being like, pay women less then, right? We want you to be this nurturer, you're out of this role, whatever your job is, we consider it to be supplementary income to the fact that you have some man somewhere providing for you,
right?
Like, it's just a whole lot of just assumptions and, like, really just misogynistic, like, thinking and shit, and just, like, really, like, old quote-unquote traditional, which is normally means fucked up,
right? And based off of white people, because
right,
because years ago white men worked, white women stayed at
right.
home, and most black households
women have always worked.
It stems and it go in
all the way back to slavery,
right? So black people have always had two-parent households, and then on top of that, now we're getting into a lot of non-traditional households, and we're getting into a lot of households where the woman is the main breadwinner sometimes. Mm-hmm. Even if she has a man,
right,
the woman is the main breadwinner. And then it gets to the point where, like you say, it's the opposite thing, because actually women are actually punished if you don't have children. So I get paid less and I don't have children, so I'm not falling into this traditional role,
right?
So let's say I do dedicate my time, then we have all these other excuses to why I can't get paid and why I'm supposed to sacrifice and be there all the time, quote unquote, just like the man, because I don't have any other obligations. And that's why I tell people, like, here, you know, it's winter time and we haven't had any snow yet, but my thing is this, and people, my coworker laugh at me, I said, look, if it ain't good enough for your child to get on the school bus, I ain't taking my black ass to work either, because I'm not sacrificing to come there when you don't have to. So it's like, you're punishing me and telling me that I'm quote unquote obligated to come.
Well, but I don't think that's a woman thing. That's literally like they think men should do that shit too. Like, that's just about work, yeah, not respecting people. But I mean, specific to womanhood, I think there's like the idea that you would not be dedicated as much sucks, because essentially they're hedging their bet. They're not saying, you don't have to do anything to prove this, is what I'm saying. Mm-mm. You could decide, I'm not having children. You could decide, I'm going to work just as hard as much as everybody else, I'm always be here at the office. And if you're that woman, they basically go, okay, but one day you might change your mind, so we're gonna just pay you 75 cents on a dollar, okay? We're not gonna give you what you, if you were a man we would pay you more, but we're not gonna give you that, you know. So I think a lot of that comes down to it, you know, and that's before we even get to, like, some of the labor that women have done traditionally, such as cleaning and whatnot and cooking, and how we view that as feminine and valueless, like just something you should do and something right. we should pay a little bit for, if you know.
But that is if you're a woman, because the wild part about it is that all the top chefs are men, mm-hmm. and they get paid a lot fucking more, but mm-hmm. in the household, quote unquote, traditionally the woman cooks, but you're not willing to pay her for the job.
Yeah, and even with cleaning, right. you know, yeah, it's very much a, this is valueless if a woman's doing it, and same thing with race. I mean, it's value if a Latina woman's cleaning something, it's like, well, I could pay her less, obviously, you know. And all this shit goes back, you know, historically, and has roots that are, you know, problematic or whatever. But when we talk about wage equality and stuff, a lot of it just comes down to what we've been programmed to think of as value, and we don't see people and the work they do as valuable, and especially if they are women, especially if they are of color. It's like, you know, as much as people talk about wage gap, in 90% of these articles, they're really talking about the white woman wage gap.
Come on.
Because they're not really even, like, you can look at the numbers they're talking about, and you're like, oh, like, that number's not, that's not the real number.
No, sure.
Cause if you want to break it down more specifically, it's like, oh, black women make less than that, and, Latina women make less than that. So it's like, you know, it's like, yeah, this, it's bigger than that. And then, you know, some of that's do it, with just sexism and race and stuff, but I feel like people just kind of avoid the bigger picture, and they just go, oh, well, we all make the same. It's like, you're not gonna get to we all make the same. Yeah, we're not gonna, I mean, 178 years, you know, but we're not gonna get to it anytime soon, because as a society, we don't value these things. It's mm-hmm. it's not just this one company or one part. As a society, we have decided, like, motherhood is a thing you're supposed to do, and we need to always kind of a lot for the idea that you one day you just gonna your biological clock is gonna tick, and we'll be so glad we weren't paying you as much as a dude, you know. We'll be so glad when you pull that trigger that we can go
to compensate and pay for this expensive ass child. Come right. on, children aren't cheap.
All right, we got a couple emails, and thank you for writing in, mm-hmm. I mean, for calling in, Jada. Thank you so much. Jennifer says, feedback, spoiled movie reviews. Hi, Rod and Karen. Just a quick note to tell you how much I appreciate your spoiled movie review series. I've seen several films on recommendation from your reviews, and you have yet to leave me wrong. In fact, I pretty much don't even read reviews anymore. I know spoiled movie reviews will tell me what's hot and what to skip. Hubs and I saw Queen of Catway last night, and both absolutely loved everything about it. One more I have to thank you for putting on my radar. Keep up the great work. Premium is worth every penny. Clappy hands emoji, Jennifer. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you. Yeah, Queen of Catway was excellent.
Yeah, and I, you know, that's the thing about spoiled movie reviews. We basically started going to see movies on Thursday nights, mm-hmm. so that we would be able to review them that night, and right. then put it out by Friday morning.
Right, because we know a lot of people see movies on Fridays.
Yeah, or in case you already saw it Thursday night, right. you can catch what we thought about it. So, you know, it's a bit of a sacrifice, time-wise, but anytime someone writes in about any of the premium shows or leaves a comment on a premium show, it's always really cool and a testament to what we do, man. Mm-hmm. So thank y'all, because that
we do it for y'all.
It is like, it's really motivating, and it's also kind of lets us know we're not just talking into an empty crowd.
Somebody's
you know?
Listening.
Lil Wayne and Willie D. This is from Greg, who says, "Hello, Miss Karen and Rod. Greg here with a question. With Lil Wayne saying he has no connection to the understanding of Black Lives Matter, do you think he will be a target in Where the Coons At 3?"
Ooh.
It will be good.
Mm-hmm. No, Willie D be watching and looking.
Mm-hmm. Somebody had to ask him. You know, he do a weekly question and answer series now.
What?
So somebody probably asked him about Lil Wayne. Mm-hmm. Also, who would win with that rap battle if it came to one? I don't know who would win the rap battle. I just know that nobody wants to see Willie D in these streets.
Mm-hmm. No, you don't.
He ain't called Lil Willie D, okay?
Right.
Lil Wayne is actually a little dude. I don't think they want to come to them fisticuffs. I'm glad you came to my home state, Florida. Sorry. I'm glad you came to my home state, Florida, and appreciate all the amazing graffiti in Miami. I was half afraid you would have a story like Zola when you came back. Keep being awesome. Yeah, well, you know, danger sense was ticking, man. We were fine. Mm-hmm. Lamara leaves in listener testimony and tea. Two of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Hi, Karen and Rod. Hope you both are doing well this Saturday. My name is Lamar, and I started listening to your podcast in July. It was recommended to me at the Black Lives Matter protest that I helped lead in Portland, Oregon. Portland is the whitest major city in these here United States, and I have spent the past 15 years of my life here. My family migrated from Kingston, Jamaica when I was 7. I'm 22 now. Moving to Portland was definitely a culture shock at times. Every day being here fucks me up. Listening to your podcast alleviates the stress of white people. Happy to help. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry about the horrible Jamaican accents we have, but you know.
Yeah. I know they bad.
Lord of mercy. I know that's what you've been Bubba saying. Clap. I know that's what you've been saying.
I'm probably mispronouncing it.
You are. You are. You don't care.
I don't care.
I know. When I first started listening, hearing both your takes on Black Lives Matter was interesting, and it still is too. I had been a part of the movement in Portland since 2014. I was sacrificing my time and my mental health. I have a mental illness and the rest of my health to put in work of the movement. Yeah, man, it's taxing, dog, I'm sure. And especially, man, all I'll say is this: putting on for blackness is, in most people's eyes, supposed to be a thankless activity. So
right, you're not supposed to get paid for it. You're supposed to do it for free, but yet you're supposed to do everything and be everywhere with no money, and that's unrealistic.
And take just the most harshest, unfair criticisms. Just, it is what it is, man. Right. Like, I don't see how anybody cannot get burned out by that shit and just go back to quote-unquote life at some point, because people will use you up till you die, and then just when you die, they'll still be like, you know, that I was their best friend, but the whole time you was alive, they was just shitting on your ass and everything. So many activists live hard lives, not being able to pay for food, rent, housing, and letting their health go to shit for the moment. I chose to discontinue activism work. At first, I felt guilty about it, but listening to you both helped me feel confident in my decision. I realized that I could support black people in other ways. I'm still trying to figure out these other ways. Haha. Hey, like, you got to think about you first, though. Because what's the point of doing all this shit, and at the end of the day, you're burned up, you know?
Right, because the thing about it is that everything has to be done in moderation. And even people that are working hard and fighting for the cause and standing up for oppressed groups, you've got to step back every now and then. It's mandatory, and take a break, because the thing about it, you will break down if you don't rest. You will break down if you don't take care of your body. You just will not be able to stand. And it's one of those things where people have to realize you're not the only one. There are other people out there. There are other people that are actually marching. There are other people that actually protest. You don't have to take on everything. You don't have to bear the whole world on your shoulder. But when it comes to activism, people act like every single solitary thing that happens is brought to your doorstep, and you must take up the mantle for everything. And that's not realistic, because every battle is not your battle to fight.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's about knowing which ones not to fight, right, as much as it is to know which ones to, and whatnot, you know, just for your own sake. You can't, you know, because you will burn yourself out. And people, honestly, people have no regard for that. Like, I've just seen some of the things people say to people that are activists.
Yes, sir.
And they just have zero regard for the reality they face, or the hardships they go through, or the results of some of the things they experience. It's just people just want to get their shots in. Portland has been mentioned in several podcast episodes, and this city is so wild. The facade of liberalism and progressiveness is mind-blowing. In reality, it's really fucking racist. Oregon was established as a white safe haven, and black people were not allowed to live here until 1926. There are places in this state I will never even venture to without physical protection. Yeah, that is wild, because when people say, you know, Oregon's progressive, they really mean They really mean Portland and Seattle.
Right. But then, the rest of it's a big ass state, y'all.
But then when they speak of Portland and Seattle, they really are talking about white progressiveness, because it's never this picture of like, oh, all these black people. I remember the movements there. It's always like Portland is full of liberal white people that never see black people or whatever. Ever. Portland's whites love that colorblind racism. Black people are 2% of the population, but somehow 64% of the people in the Portland's police gang list are black. Interesting. 2 weeks ago, I got off work and the supporters of the Bundy brothers were marching around the justice system. These crackers were riding horses and huge ass don't tread on me flags, signing to racist move.
Wow.
Yep. The police just stood there and let them march. At every major Black Lives Matter march and protest, there have been riot police. Right. It's so, the hypocrisy of this country is just so amazing. It's so weird watching it happen and being like, I feel like I'm the only person seeing this. You know, it's just like, it feel like as Black people or just aware people, sometimes you feel like you're being punked. And especially if you become like historically aware, like you just feel like you're being punked. Cause you're like, well, this is the same shit. Like the you're not, none of this shit, is dog. New. Like, yeah, it's gotta be frustrating. But yeah, over the summer, the riot police. White supremacists are becoming emboldened due to Trump. Over the summer, a young Black man was run over and killed by two white supremacists. I've seen a few on the bus. There was a Trump counter protest in the spring, and the Trump supporters had more people than we, the counter protesters. This email is becoming much longer than I anticipated. I guess I really wanted to give everybody the Portland tea. Well, we appreciate it. We've had, I think Marissa Janae is giving us the Seattle tea. I don't know. She's giving us some of that Oregon tea up there too. Some of that Northern tea. She's just giving us that Northwest tea and let us know that it ain't all good. It ain't all good. Mm-mm. Thank you guys. You get me through the week. Also, I hope I can help you two sound more authentically Jamaican in the future, or we will not. You just saw Karen say bumber clap and she then said, I don't care. So, I'ma just give up hope on that.
Give Lamar. Up hope, baby. Give
you know
up.
How we talked about which battles to fight. Don't fight that one because we are going to be comically bad at Jamaican accents the entire time. I try not to even do them because I'm so terrible at it.
Because did it get me started?
These bumba claws needs more sassy Jamaican granny behind them, but bless your sweet souls for the effort. You know what? Thank you. Yeah. We deserve bless your hearts for how terrible we are.
Oh, we bad. But we know we bad.
Bless up, Lamaro says. Bless up.
Yeah, we know we not authentic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Robert writes in finally, hey, I want to say thanks again to y'all for the show. Y'all really make ugly news bearable and crazy times manageable. Also, I've been listening to your recaps for seasons now. I gotta admit, I finally am giving Game of Thrones and Walking Dead a chance because of your reviews. I need to see this dude with a tiger. Everybody want to see that nigga with a tiger, y'all. I'm glad, like I said, I'm glad they got so outlandish last season, because if you think about it, it's the only way a tiger was gonna work for them to, it has to be an outlandish show.
They was like, if you believe this, but what the hell is a tiger? The tiger's where you draw the line?
Right. Might as well. Lastly, I know y'all watch Atlanta. That show is really good. The only thing I wish had been added to the finale was Darius giving Earn that cash from the sales of the puppies. Oh yeah. Yeah. I wonder how much time passed throughout the whole show.
Right, cause the time might not have passed for that. Cause he told him it'd be a while.
Yeah, I know, but I just wonder how much, because clearly time was passing though. Mm-hmm. You know, I just wonder. Anyway, showing his come up on the long investment and adding some more hope to this new quote unquote living situation. Keep it up, Mac. Thanks, Mac.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, everybody. This is a short feedback episode, but it was good. It was packed with lots of goodness. So. Mm-hmm. Thank y'all everybody for listening live. Time to go to my family reunion type deal. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.